He trained for the NFL, but found a higher calling, transforming lives far beyond the field. Marquise Bradley turned personal setbacks into purpose, building a system rooted in leadership, accountability, and relentless drive. He's not just coaching fitness, he's creating a mindset, one that challenges people to rise, lead, and own their story. This is more than motivation, it's disruption. And that's why Marquise Bradley is today's disruptor.
I'm laughing because I'm really excited about this particular guest. I've known the Marquise. I don't know when the word "the" came into play. So the Marquise Bradley. I wish they would call me the Bruce, but that's not going to happen. But on a couple of journeys, which we'll get into. But first of all, welcome to Las Vegas, Marquise, and I'm really happy that you're here.
Well, thank you for having me. And the funny thing is, the Marquise, I kind of just made that up.
Did?
Absolutely.
Oh, okay.
Works
so
out
now
pretty good.
We have to call you the Marquise from now on.
Well, every now and then, I guess we can.
Marquise, your journey and ours intersected, how many years ago, you think? I want to say seven?
Yeah, about 7 years ago.
7, 8 years ago, and I was on a health journey. I was trying to lose some weight, and I never really understood what working out at a high intensity level it was. And when you worked me out, I think I was sore for like 2 weeks. And I was like, who the hell is this guy? And that's what started this journey. But now we're going to talk a little bit about what you do, where you're going. And man, dude, your world has totally blown up. And I'm really kind of excited about talking about it. Before, during, and then this coming up chapter and where it's evolving to, because I think, let's just put it this way, I feel like I'm part of something really big right now, and so I wanted to get you on the show. So, Marquise, you are by nature what? I mean, you started a gym, you were in athletics, but your story isn't just, oh, I was going to try to be a pro football player or whatever, and then, you know, blah, 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 blah. You had a lot of hardships, so I just wanted to kind of get a little story so that the people out there know who you are.
No, 100%. So, first off, thank you for having me.
Of course.
And, you know, my story is nothing special. And I tell people this.
I actually think it is. Okay, so.
The reason why I say it's nothing special because I don't deserve any of the credit. The credit belongs to my mother and to my mentors and to the people that allowed me to get to this spot. So,
By the way, the biggest difference between you and me is I take all the credit. So, so it's very difficult for me to understand.
No, I understand
that. Kidding.
But no, my mom. You know, my mom is a single parent. I have five brothers and sisters. And the cool thing is my mom always had this tagline, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. And that was what she always instilled in us at an early age. And so imagine she would work 2 to 3 jobs trying to provide for me and my brothers and sisters, always brought in other family members or other people to help them as well. And so I guess for me, my journey would say, I always had to fight, you know, to let people know that, hey, I'm here. And it was, whether it was at the dinner table, whether it was with my big brothers, and it was always a challenge to let people know that I did exist. And then,
but one thing I do know about you, and this is new to me, is you were never a victim. You're always like, hey, it's all good.
Oh yeah, no, never a victim. But that's my journey. You know, when you get obstacles, you have a choice. And so you have to, and that choice you make is going to determine everything else. And so, a good example, I grew up in this household where education wasn't the lead. It was sports. We used sports as a way to, you know, combat the challenges. And so football was always my passion. It was something I always wanted to do. And I had opportunity early on to get connected to Russ Meyer Sr., who is over, I mean, he's basically the starter of aviation in Kansas. And so when you talk about impact and influence, he was the first one that took me under his wing, got me on track, and told me that I can be something in life. And so you pair that with my mom, I mean, now we're onto something. And so my new journey has all stemmed from people coming early mm-hmm. and really instilling in me this mindset that I can do anything.
What was your position in football?
Played running back, safety, linebacker. So I wasn't the fastest, but when it came down to mindset, oh, hands down, I was always going to be the heartbeat of the team. No question.
And so then you went to college, then you actually tried professional sports.
Yeah, so I moved to Milwaukee early on my freshman year. My mother moved me there mostly to stay out of trouble. Mm-hmm. So a gentleman by the name of William Polite is the first one that took me into his home to make sure that I stayed on track. I got shipped back to Wichita, where Russ Meyer got me into Wichita Independent. From Wichita Independent, I went on to Grinnell College in Iowa. Now, I do got to tell you the funny story.
Please.
On my first chance taking ACT, I scored a 13.
Okay. It's got to start somewhere.
It's got to start somewhere.
Right.
From there, I scored a 14. Third time, he's like, you at least got to get an 18 to make it to any college, you know. And I'm like, all right, deal, I got it. I scored a 15. And he said, well, listen, we'll do one more, and that's going to be the SAT. And after the SAT, we're just going to see where it goes. And so I go and I interview at Grinnell College, mind you, the number 8 school at the time in liberal arts education. And I'm sitting in this interview, and the guy says to me,
but score is one thing. You studied for it, though. I mean, you were working it.
No, I didn't.
Okay.
I'm going to be honest.
I was trying for a Fields moment.
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
and it failed. Okay.
Yeah, no. Yeah, so
that's really good. It really is teaching football, our audience about motivation.
You know, but but football was my passion.
No, I got it. But I was really trying to lead up to something and beep, beep, beep. Yeah. You know what I mean? So anyway, go ahead.
No, with football being my passion, the only reason why I would even was taking a test is so I could play football at the next level.
Okay.
And so I sit down in an interview with Grinnell College. And in this interview, the guy says, listen, I don't care what you score. Your attitude alone is all I care about. And he goes, if there's any way possible for us to get you in this school, I promise you we will get you in because you're somebody who we want to be around. And we, you know, you're the good model. Well, long story short, I end up getting a high enough score on my SAT. Mm-hmm. And from that, I got accepted inside of Grinnell College. The reason why that was big is because Russ gave me one thing. He told me, do not get on academic probation and make sure I finish. So he bet on me to do that. And I will say I graduated in 4 years and was on academic probation. And I used football still as my tool to gain recognition from the NFL, mostly the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah. So you have a unique story with the Kansas City Chiefs. So I that is something that I did know about, and I found that terribly inspiring.
I go for a workout. Inside this workout, I'll get done trying out. I sit down with Ray Farmar and Scott Pioli, who was the GM and director of player personnel. And in this conversation, they told me, Marquise, what's your plan A and what's your plan B? And my plan B was motivational speaking. I knew it. You know, that was my passion. That was what I cared about. Mm-hmm. And so I get done and they say, well, we love you, think everything is great, but guess what? Your plan B is actually your plan A. Everybody here that plays football, they only have one plan A, and that's football. But you're going to be more successful if you actually take up motivational speaking and you actually follow that path. And I'm like, nah, you're crazy. No, I don't want to do that. No, I want to play football. Mm-hmm. And he says, trust me, this is where you belong. And honestly, that sucked because the next year they all got fired. And I said, well, probably because they couldn't recognize good talent, you know. But in reality, no, they were right. As much as I love playing football, empowering people has always been just my driving force. And I think that that's what led me to go back to Wichita, start doing personal training because it gave people confidence. Like the first time you showed up, you told me, oh, I'll work out. And it's funny because you did some form of working out.
No,
The extreme of actually, you know, working out.
I can say with high truth that I was very sore for a long time. And I was like, I actually didn't like you at that time because I was saying to myself, this guy doesn't like me. You know what I mean? But you know what? Now that I've embraced the health journey, I'm grateful for that because you sparked something inside of me. I got actually angry at myself. And I said, I've got to change.
See, that's what it's about. So I love the fact you said that I didn't like you and you didn't like me.
I didn't like you.
I tell people all the time, you're going to hate it. and you're gonna hate me.
Oh, there's no question there was hate involved.
but my focus is on you.
You know, I'm fully aware.
Right. I want you to love you by the time it's all said and done. Yeah. So yeah, I figured.
Marquise, so Omnicut, let's fast forward.
Okay, right? Yeah.
You're in Wichita, dealing with a lot of executives, you're dealing with a lot of individuals. There's a company out there called Koch Enterprises, and it helped you transition into some other opportunities. Can you talk about those experiences and, you know, kind of who you've met and what you've done? And because I want to transition this quickly to where this is going, because it's so out there and it's so cool. And I think that's the whole meaning of why we're together, because these chapters lead to this kind of crescendo.
100%. Always when I start off talking about the gym, I do want to always highlight a gentleman by the name of Steve Fillmyer, who was once the CFO.
The best.
CFO of Koch Industries. And the reason why I do that is because he actually was the first one.
He's a motivator.
To invest in me.
Yeah.
And believe in me. And so as I started the gym, he was the first person that said, go find land.
Yeah.
Go and build something amazing. And take this and use this as your tool to connect people in Wichita.
Right.
And so from there.
But he also embodies a lot of the, you know, and this is not a commercial, he embodies a lot of the Koch values.
Oh, man, 100%.
You know what I mean? I mean, he actually lives those values.
100%. I was an experiment, right? He took somebody and said, hey.
Yeah, okay.
I know it sounds crazy.
Yeah, no, you weren't. I mean, he was passionately, I remember him talking about you because I'm like, who the hell is this Marquise guy? And he was just so passionate about what you were doing for the community, and he just believed in you. He was passionate about you. You weren't an experiment. He was locked in.
No, I appreciate that. And I guess, yeah, no, you're right. When I say experiment, it's more so, it's one thing to say it.
Yeah, and right? Then another to do it.
There's another thing to do it.
I get that.
And we had a relationship at the moment. Mm-hmm. And so for him to go and put actions behind his words, it forced me to put actions behind what I was doing. And so he began to introduce me to a circle of people inside of Koch and other businesses that could be really impacted by my service. And so from there, I went from training 50 amazing people to about 75 to 100. And went from 5 or so trainers to 16 in a matter of 3 years. And on my journey, I had a chance to connect with people like Chase Koch and people like David May, James Herman, Casey Vogelai.
They're the best.
I mean, these guys really got behind me in this mission and said, hey, I want to help you go from point A to point B.
Yeah.
And so now point B is empowering people.
And we're going to get to that in a second, because you know, when people talk about empowering people, you know, you think of, you know, local community stuff and things like that. And then all of a sudden you just went big. And I mean, you went big. In fact, you and Chase went big on some stuff. And I encourage anybody, you know, if they don't know the individuals that you just spoke of, if you do, shake their hand, because they're just, I mean, beyond cool people, and they're community minded, but they're entrepreneurs too as well. So you develop this relationship, not to pick on any one particular person, but it leads to the next chapter, is you develop this relationship with Chase Koch. And, you know, again, another, just forget the last name. He's just a cool guy, but he's also into empowerment as well. And so that's where you guys were very aligned on this mission that's about to begin. And you evolved into, the name escapes me, Elsewhere? Is it Elsewhere?
It started off as Elsewhere. Now it's Somewhere. So okay. Somewhere Fest is the new title of the name. And the reason why is when you think about...
And so what was Elsewhere? So
Elsewhere was a music festival and conference that happened last year in Wichita, Kansas. And
Big was it?
Oh, man. It started off small. And that's kind of where Chase and I met. As I was training Chase asked, how could I help? And so I never
forget. Again, part of those values.
Yeah, it was about six weeks.
Chase, you're right.
It was about 6 weeks left until the festival. And he said, well, you know, how could you help? And it was interesting because the way I told him is, I have all these relationships with a lot of these business leaders in town. I have community relationships with a lot of the community leaders. I believe that I can go out there and rally the support to get people behind this. And I went out and did that. And it wasn't just me, but it was a team of us. And we all went out there and we did our parts. And when we got back, it went from 600 tickets sold to 6,000 tickets sold each day for the festival. We had a total of 14,000 people in downtown Wichita in a matter of weeks, which is unheard of. Right, and we had acts come in like Steve Aoki. And I mean, when I tell you, it was a, you didn't feel like you were in Wichita. You felt like you were in Vegas. Minus all the drama, the extra stuff. It was legit a beautiful sight to see because you didn't feel like you're in Wichita. You felt like you're elsewhere. And so now.
And that's why you came up with the name.
Now, though, when we look back, we're like, we wanted to drive more of a social change impact. And so the mission has to start somewhere. And that's why it became Somewhere Fest rather than Elsewhere. We want to be a destination for people to come knowing that they can thrive in Wichita, Kansas. They can get connected to the right resources and that they can succeed. And so when you think about the work.
So what is the mission statement of Somewhere?
If you had
5 seconds or less, you know, someone goes, what, I mean, if I were to just say, what is Somewhere? Is it a festival? Is it, what is it?
Every person empowered.
Okay.
So when you think about every person empowered is, it doesn't matter your background. It doesn't matter where you start in life. It doesn't matter the color of your skin, the race. What matters most is, can we provide solutions for you and opportunities for you to succeed?
Economic solutions?
All across the board, from economic solutions to affordable housing, to healthcare, to mental health, to addiction. And so
imagine, it goes deep.
It's
not a job fair.
Oh, no. So we highlight impacts of poverty on the city. When you look at different cities and how they're impacted from all these different areas, we want to highlight and let people know what's out there that's killing our city. And then here are the solutions that are here to combat these problems.
But the medium of exchange, there are a lot of institutions and causes and so on and so forth that are supposed to do this. So why are you different?
We're not different.
Okay.
We're the same. The only thing we're doing is we're putting a voice behind it. So imagine taking a platform.
In this festival. I got you. So you're pulling it all together.
Absolutely. We're using the festival as an amplifier to draw people in, to let people know that the nonprofits that's doing this work are cool and that we all have issues. We all have problems. You know, I think a lot of times people want to be perfect or want to seem like they're perfect.
Yeah, I'm pretty perfect, but yeah.
Yes. No. But we all have areas that we can get better. And imagine if I told you that, hey, I have an opportunity for you to fix something you may be dealing with in a way that's different, a way that's unique. There's a lot of nonprofits doing great, amazing work. And so our job is, how do we connect them all into one? And then how do we amplify their works? How do we amplify their message to draw people in? When you're starting something, when you want to be disruptive against the causes to the problem, you have to do something different.
And you think this festival, so is there music?
Oh, man, there's music, there's art, there's dance, there's a conference. We want to bring in all these different features to really highlight the works.
And I'm not trying to trivialize it. What I'm trying to figure out is it's not to, quote, make it fun, but it's to make it acceptable, right? Or is it what to create this mood, right? Is it?
It's to create a celebration.
There.
That we all can win. For. Yeah. 100%. It's a celebration.
So as it be being downtrodden, going and feeling kind of...
Oh, yeah. No, it's not to say, oh, we have problems, let's...
Woe is me type
thing. No, it's more
to celebrate, like, this is the beginning.
Yes, and the success stories of the people. Like, so we partner, we're staying together in this mission to make sure that everybody could have that kind of those resources. So they go out there and they find the organizations that help deliver success stories. And from those success stories, we put them on stage and we let the world know, hey, this is what's out there.
I think this is pretty cool. So when, how many bands? How big is this going to be? I mean, you said you had 14,000, which was one name, and now Somewhere is going to be what in your mind? I mean, dream a little.
It's a movement. It's a movement where, imagine, we have about 30-plus acts coming up. There's going to be a block party in here as well. where there's an activation, where it's an experience. It's not your traditional booths and you show up and it's like, oh, here's a flyer. No, it doesn't work like that. But imagine something like this. And this is what I tell people, the kind of work we want to do, we want to make you feel it. So imagine this experience. Inside of a classroom, you will sit and there's three puzzles in front of you. One puzzle represents you haven't eaten in 2 days. The puzzle in the middle represents the fact that you don't know where you're going to sleep tonight. And the third puzzle is your mother could be getting beat up every single night and you got to go home to that. Now, while that's happening, while you're figuring out these puzzles, there's a teacher teaching and she's telling you what's on a test. And so you have to finish all three puzzles before you can even look up to see what she's talking about. This is a 9-year-old kid going through this experience.
I've never heard anyone articulate that way.
So imagine, we can't expect this person to succeed they got all these other issues they got to deal with every single day. Mm-hmm. So you can't tell me that this person is better than this. No, it's not the case. The thing is,
it's an unlevel playing field.
100%.
Yeah.
So we want to connect this young man to the right resources and the right services to help him out of his situation. We're saying we're going to give you the tools and the resources so that you can succeed. That way.
And I know, but you're giving the tools to succeed, but you're doing it in a festival form.
100%.
So that the individual, the recipient of this, feels it's nothing to be not only ashamed about, but it's something to be celebrated because we're here to help you.
100%.
Is that kind of what you and Chase and this group is
doing? Oh, yeah. 100%. We want to let people know that because of these resources,
right,
you have an opportunity now. You can be heard. And when you look at the artist's point of view, these are a bunch of independent artists that are taking the stage to say, hey, we don't have a voice, but now we do. We wasn't given the mega deal check where somebody's going to back us. We're saying, this is where we started.
No.
This is how we're working our way through the system, and this is how we plan on succeeding.
I go, thanks for coming on the show, Marquise, because I got to tell you, I think, and I think you humanize a lot of these things, and I'm really happy. And for those who don't know, you know, Chase and so on and so forth, I can see why you guys get along so well. And I just want to thank you for being here.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Let's make this movement like a big deal.
Come on, let's do it.
Let's blow it up.
It's going to take everybody's help, though. We need everybody.
In fact, I'm so jacked. Let's go work out.
Let's do it.
All right, man.
Appreciate it, man.
Love you.
Changing the game, shattering expectations, rewriting the rules. Meet the new visionaries, the rebels, the ones who dare to disrupt.
When you're on a show like this, we're always talking about disruption.
The way that this is transforming is people want an actual connection with the person that they're listening to.
Exploring the industries revolutionizing our world. The Disruptors, from the Fountain Blue Las Vegas Resort.